Nehemiah 13, verse number 15. I'll start reading there. Nehemiah 13 and verse 15. The Bible says, "In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and lading donkeys, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought in Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, What evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not our fathers thus? And did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath? It came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gates, that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, Why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these guys being here today. We thank you, Lord, for your word. God, your word, there's nothing like it, Lord. It's a living book. It'll speak to our needs, our weaknesses, our struggles, Lord, and God, exactly what we're going through. I'm so thankful for that, Lord. I pray you would just open our understanding today so that we will comprehend, Lord, what's being presented, the truth that's coming out of your word. But God, also convict us and show us where we need to step things up, where we need to make adjustments. So Lord, I pray you would please do that for each young man in the room. God, help us to hear your voice through the preaching today. And God, that you would speak to these hearts and these lives. And God, that you would change them to be more like you. God, I pray you would just speak to all of our hearts. Help us to love you more as a result. We love these guys. We really want their lives to turn out, Lord, to honor and glorify you, that God, you would use them in a great way to make a difference to those around them. I pray you would do that. Please, God, I need the right words and thoughts and spirit, and I really do need your help, God. I want to fully depend on you, God, to get this across. I pray you would please help us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can be seated. Thank you for standing. I appreciate that. So, guys, we started into this last week a little bit, and we're talking about here in the book of Nehemiah. So, early on in the book of Nehemiah, do you know what the main kind of thing that's talked about in the early part of the book? What is going on in the book of Nehemiah? Does somebody know? Mr. Tim?
The walls are broken down, so he's trying to fix it.
Right. Yeah, so he's back in Persia, right? He's the king's cupbearer, and he hears news back from his homeland. One of his brothers comes back to Persia, and he asked him, what's going on in Jerusalem? It's a terrible scene. It's a terrible picture, and it breaks the heart of Nehemiah. Guys, he can't stand to just continue on with his life as normal, the normal routine, and just go about his normal business and know that about his nation. So it breaks his heart. He gets a burden. God lays a burden on his heart, and he wants to do something about it. Hey, guys, when God lays a burden on our heart, let's ask God to help us do something about it and not just say, oh, I feel so bad, and go about our business. That doesn't help anybody if that's how we live. So he got a burden, but then he reacted and responded in chapters 3 through 6. They are building the walls back. God gets involved in it. God helps them. They finish it in 52 days. Wow. Like we said last week, they didn't have cranes. They didn't have some kind of bulldozers. They didn't have huge, heavy equipment. They didn't have some kind of jackhammers and all this kind of stuff. They didn't have that. But God helped them, guys, and they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem in an amazing amount of time. Even nowadays, I feel like with all the permits and the red tape and all this kind of stuff, I don't even know if you get a project like that done now, let alone way back then, some 2,500, 2,400 years ago. Amazing, amazing what God did for them. But the work wasn't done, right? Although they finished the walls, he had other things on his mind. He wanted the spiritual life of the people. He wanted to help them build that back up, as well as getting the interior of the city, keeping it protected and so forth. Guys, I said in chapter 13, verse 6, which I may not read depending on your answer to this. Do you know what happened that I had just learned very recently? Something interesting about Nehemiah himself. Do you guys remember what I'm referring to? If you don't, it's okay, but it's in verse 6. Chapter 13, verse number 6. What is Nehemiah saying happened about himself? Can anybody kind of put the pieces together? Let me give it to you. He had left for a time. Okay? I didn't realize that until a couple months ago when I was reading this. So he was there, right? He's there when they're building, and he's there when they finish it, and he's there when they're getting the spiritual life of the people back on track and getting the nation back up and running. But guys, after all that stuff is accomplished and he's getting God back in his proper place in this nation, he has to go back. It says, so he had to go back in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, Persia, same thing. And he went back to the king, and after certain days, he obtained leave of the king. So he had to go back. You tell me, hopefully you remember this. While he was gone for that given time and then comes back, what happened? Now we know the walls are still there, right? We know the gates are still set up and all the building project is still good. But do you remember what happened with the spiritual life of the people, guys? They got weak. Things were messed up. When he comes back, he discovers, guys, that things are completely out of whack as far as spiritually. There's a lot of examples in chapter 13, but the one we're dealing with is in the passage that we read. Everything's in disarray, and he wants to deal with it and get it back on track. But, guys, he wants not just to do a quick fix and to slap a Band-Aid on this thing. He wants to get it back on track so that it'll stay on track. Mm-hmm. Okay? So the passage we're dealing with... Keep asking you guys questions. I want you to stay involved. What was their main violation in the passage that we dealt with? You know this one. Yes, they were violating the Sabbath, right? So God had set up that should be a special day for the children of Israel, right? They shouldn't be doing their normal work on that day. And what should they be focused on the Sabbath day? Yeah, worshiping God, thanking God for all that he's done, right? So that was their main violation. Guys, they made some good decisions, but... the people didn't go away that easily. And that's kind of the message we're dealing with. The message is this, hanging outside the gate. Listen, when you make a good decision for God, that's awesome. That's a good start. But I just want to remind you guys, the devil's not done with you. He's not going to say, oh, whoa, whoa, okay. All right, I get the picture. I get the hint. Yeah, you don't like me anymore. Okay, fine. I'll go bother somebody else. That's not the way the devil works. The devil is relentless. The devil is persistent. The devil stays at it. And guys, I'm glad for you. You've made decisions. You've gotten some victories. You've gotten the first taste of a victorious Christian life. Praise God. But I just want to warn you, the devil's not done with you yet. He's not done with you. He's not going to lay off you. He's not going to say, oh, hands off now. I can't touch him. He prayed at the youth rally. He got right with God. He rededicated his life. What you did is good. But the devil's coming after you even stronger because he doesn't want you to keep that decision that you made. All right? So he is hanging outside the gate. What we got into last week was the familiar disobedience. Guys, they had been disobeying God in this particular area about the Sabbath day for so long, it just became the normal thing, the common practice. Guys, God had given them direct commands about this, but they had disregarded them carelessly. Listen, after they had just run over top of what God wanted them to do and they don't care about it, after a while, they became comfortable in it. Guys, over time, it became no big deal to them. Listen, guys, I said last week, the first time you start listening to music that you know is not right, it's going to bother you. It's going to make you a little sweaty. It's going to make your heart beat a little faster. You're thinking, oh, I know I shouldn't do this. But guys, if you continue to do it, it won't bother you as much anymore. It won't shake you up. It won't faze you anymore. Listen, the first time you tell a lie about a certain situation, it's going to bother you. In fact, that's why they do lie detector tests. The police do that. Because you know what? Your body chemically reacts when you're telling a lie. It's amazing. It's almost like God made it that way, isn't it? Yeah, it is. But you get sweaty. You get your heart rate increases. You start breathing different. All these different things happen. Why? Because God put inside of you that when you're telling a lie, your body's giving all kinds of signals saying, I shouldn't be doing this. Amazing, right? But the more you do it, guys, the less it bothers you. And these guys, listen, let me just read these verses again. Verse 15. So he comes back. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, bringing sheaves, lading their donkeys, also wine, grapes, figs, all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem. You say, what is all that? Guys, can I tell you, they shouldn't have been treading their wine presses. They shouldn't have been bringing in their sheaves. They shouldn't have been loading up their donkeys. They shouldn't have been dealing with the wine and the grapes and the figs and the burdens and blah, blah, blah. None of that. Guys, every single one of those is sin, 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 sin. You say, why? Because God told them don't do those things on that particular day. And they were doing them. They're disobeying God blatantly. But Wes, it's becoming so common that, I mean, they're just living their life, doing their normal thing. They don't even think about it. Hey, guys, has it gotten to a point where we sin? We don't even think twice about it anymore? That can happen. That can happen, guys. I would say, like the statement goes, keep a short account with sin. Don't let it keep growing. Don't let it keep festering. The farther it goes, the less it'll bother you, and the deeper you'll get in. So these people are just doing this thing normally. It doesn't bother them anymore. At the end of verse 15, it talks about they sold victuals. They're selling food on the Sabbath. And then people from the outside, the town surrounding, not Jewish people, Gentile people, see what's going on. Verse 16, there dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish, all manner of ware, sold on the Sabbath day unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Guys, by the way, if we don't take God's commands seriously, those around us won't take God's commands seriously either. Hey guys, we shouldn't expect new guys that come in this class to set the tone. We should expect those of us that have been here a while to set the tone. Listen, if we're not setting the tone as, hey, we take the Bible seriously, how are they ever going to take it seriously? So because the children of Israel are disobeying God about this area, you know what the people surrounding say? They don't care about it. Yeah, let's go sell them some food. We got fish to sell. They'll buy it. We've got stuff that we want to sell, products that they'll buy. Let's go do it. You can't blame them because they're just following the lead of the children of Israel. But when Nehemiah sees all this, it grieves him. It bothers him. And in verse 17, guys, it says he contends with the nobles. What that means is he's disputing with them, saying, what are we doing? Guys, he made an issue of it. He pointed it out. He's saying, we're not having this. Hey, guys, those of you that went on the trip, maybe you had been listening to this music for a long time. It didn't even bother you anymore. Maybe you had been disobeying your parents for a long time, talking to them this certain way, and you didn't even think twice about doing it anymore. Or you're flirting around with this girl and getting into mess that you know you shouldn't be, and you've been doing it so long, it didn't even bother you. But through that trip, hopefully, through those messages, through that time away, God called it out. He made an issue of it and say, this is not okay. Hey guys, that's a good thing. That's called conviction. And God's calling you out. But you have a decision to make. You can respond to it properly, or you can get all angry about it and rebel against it and say, I don't want to hear any of that. I'm going to live my life. Okay. You're going to live your life without God's help then. The familiar disobedience, this has become a common practice. And he confronted them passionately. He's saying, this is not okay. Hey, guys, if we have stuff in our life, music that has cuss words in it, that's degrading women in it, that's talking about disrespecting authority, that's talking about drinking and drugs and parties and the thug life and the gang life, that's not okay to listen to. If you're watching stuff and the girl's barely got any clothes on, that's not okay. We need to remind ourselves of that in 2023 because it's just so common, so normal. Hey, Brother Tom, haven't you realized? No girls wear the proper clothes, it seems like. Nobody listens to the right kind of music and nobody talks right. Everybody throws out this nasty word and that nasty word and this dirty joke and that dirty joke. Guys, we don't measure ourselves by the world because it's jacked up. We measure ourselves by God because his is always a straight line and we can follow him. Guys, are you measuring yourself by the right standard? He's saying, guys, this is not okay. I'm glad. Thank God that Nehemiah didn't lose his mind when he had to go back to Persia for a little while and then come back. He still had he was still spirit filled. He still had his focus as it should be, Aiden. And when he shows up, he's seeing this happening. He's saying, I can't even believe my eyes. What are we doing? And he calls them out. He calls them out, guys, and it's a good thing that he did. He confronts them passionately. Hey, guys, be thankful for people that confront it passionately. I'm not saying they got to slap you around or even yell at you. But, guys, be thankful for parents to say, hey, don't do that. Be thankful for friends to say, hey, you want to be careful of that, man. I don't think that person's good for you. I don't think what you're doing there is smart. Let's stay away from that. That's a good thing. Be thankful for preachers that call out sin. It's important. It's important. It's important. And guys, he calls it out provocatively. He calls it what? In verse number 17, what strong word does he use to describe what they were doing? Evil. Guys, he did not say, I cannot believe we're doing this. We're working, we're loading up our donkeys, we're treading out our wine presses, we're doing this and that and dealing with wine and grapes and figs and all this stuff. And guys, this is a mistake. I understand. This is just a mistake. You didn't mean to. That's not what he calls it. He doesn't say this was just a miscalculation. This was just a oops. I get it. I understand. You didn't mean to. He says, guys, this is evil. Evil. He calls it out strongly. And I'm sure that the people that heard this thinking, whoa, you sure you didn't take that a little too far, Nehemiah? Hey, guys, when we do things against God, it's not okay. And the more that we realize it's not, the farther we'll stay away from it. But George, when we start to downgrade things and think, well, they're not that bad, you know what we're doing? We're leaving the door open for it. That's what we're doing. When we say, well, yeah, I get it, but it's not that bad, we're leaving the door open, Chris, to go back into it. Nehemiah says, no, this is evil, guys. This is profane. This is terrible. And in verse number 18, what kind of cycle were they seeming like they were repeating? Can you help me fill in the gap here, and then we'll move on to new information? Aiden. Yep. He's saying, guys, haven't we learned anything? Hey, guys, right? If before the trip, you listen to a certain type of music and God called you out, then, guys, when the devil tempts you to go back to it, hey, don't. Why? Because God wasn't pleased with it back then. He still won't be. Right? If you used to talk to your parents a certain way and it wasn't okay back then and God wasn't okay with it then, he's not going to be with it. Not going to be okay with it now. So what is he saying? Guys, our nation did this same stuff before. They didn't care about the Sabbath day. They didn't care about worshiping God properly. They went after false gods and a million different other things. But he's saying, what happened? We had to go away into captivity. We got punished. Hey, guys, God has every right to punish our sin and to bring chastening into the life of a Christian. He's saying this happened to us before. And then the end of verse 18, yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. I mean, really? Are you serious? Hey, guys, if a dude commits a crime and then has to go to jail, and as soon as that sentence is over, he comes out and he's doing the exact same thing, that bro didn't learn a thing. He's doing the exact same thing. Hello, did you like spending time in jail? Did you like being punished? Did you like being incarcerated? Maybe you did, because it seems like it by your actions. Hey, guys, we've got to learn. We've got to learn. And listen, don't let me stand up here and act like I don't never make mistakes. We all do. We all mess up all the time. But you know what? Let's learn from them. Hey, guys, let's get real. If you messed up with your cell phone because you had it in your room late at night, your parents are in bed, nobody's around, and you're looking at stuff that you shouldn't be looking at, maybe we shouldn't do that anymore. How so? Let's not even take our cell phone in our bedroom anymore. Let's leave it out there, or let's tell our parents, hey, at 10 o'clock, can you help me and keep me accountable, and I'll give it to you, because I don't want to mess up again. We got to do that kind of stuff, guys. We've got to do that kind of stuff. Well, every time I talk to this girl, man, all of a sudden, and the conversation goes in this direction. Oh, my goodness, what are we talking about? This is not good stuff. Guys, you shouldn't be talking to her then. But, come on, man. No. If every time you go down that road, you get in an accident, I would suggest don't go down that road anymore. Right? We've got to learn. We can't keep repeating the same mistakes. Guys, again, we've all had our times, but it shouldn't be that year after year, Tim, we go to the altar about the same thing. Well, back in 2022, I was praying about this. Here I am this year. Probably next year, I'll still be in the same boat. I'm not saying we don't have struggles. I get that. But guys, we need to learn from our mistakes. Let's work at that. Let's ask God to show us. He's saying, don't you remember what happened? Don't you remember the repercussions? But yet you're going to repeat the same thing? And by the way, guys, let me spin it one more direction, and then I'll move on. Maybe for some of you, maybe an older brother, maybe somebody in your family, maybe a friend of yours, maybe they've made some bad decisions. Hey, guys, can I tell you, you can learn from their mistakes too. You know, it doesn't have to be your own mistake. Well, they jumped off the cliff, but I'm going to live my own life. I'm jumping myself. That's pretty stupid, right? If you see what happened to them, I want to say, George, I don't want to follow that. Hey, guys, that doesn't mean I'm better than anybody. That's just saying, hey, I want to learn from their mistakes and say, you know what? God has given me this opportunity, and God has helped me to see these things. Help me to learn from them, God, and not repeat the same thing. That's not wise, guys. That's not wise if we do that. All right. So hanging outside the gate, there's a familiar disobedience. Point number two, though, we'll get to verse 19. Let me read that and then I'll give you point number two. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded, get this, the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gates that there should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. Guys, what did he do? What decision did he make to try to fix this problem?
Close the gate.
I like it, right? Simple. Close the gate. So, point number one is the familiar disobedience. Number two, the fundamental decision. Fundamental just means basic, okay? The basic decision, the foundational decision. Guys, you know what he did? He's saying, listen, here's our problem, George. Every Sabbath day, we got people rolling up in here selling stuff, and people are buying it. I mean, we're just disgracing God's special day like it's nothing, and we do it commonly. It's like, doesn't even raise an eyebrow anymore. It's just the normal thing. He's saying, I don't want this to happen anymore. Hey, guys, you know what he's saying? What do we need to do? We need to cut off that possibility. Shut it down. So what does he do? He closes the gates. Guys, before the Sabbath day started, he closed the gates, and then he kept them closed and kept them shut and locked tight until after the Sabbath was over. There we go. That is a fundamental decision. You know what he's saying? We've got to do something to stop this. We got to do something to stop this. Hey, guys, what I was just referring to, hey, guys, you tell me. So he saw the last point that we deal with. He saw all the violations of the Sabbath, right? And he called them out. He was not okay with this. He confronted them. He went after them. He's saying, "This, we can't do this, guys." And he calls it evil. And then he said, didn't we do the same thing in our history? And look how it turned out. But, guys, you tell me, what is all that he did, confronting them? And calling it evil and talking about their history. What is all that? You say, you're losing me, Brother Tom. What is all that? Correction. Yeah, good. Is it fixing the problem? It might be a step in that process, right? But it's not fixing the problem. What is it?
It's talk.
It's talk. It's good. I'm for it. I'm glad he confronted them, right? But that's talk. I'm glad he called it evil, but that's talk. And I'm glad he said, do you remember our history? This is not going to work out well. We've got to learn. But George, it's just talk. And I'm not against it. It's good. It's instructional. It's helpful. It'll help them learn. But Aiden, did they fix the problem yet? No, not till verse 19. That's when they fixed it. Hey, guys. And I'm not against any of this, and I do not mean to belittle anybody. That's from the beginning, I want to say that. But listen, I'm all for the preaching. But guys, if we don't do anything about it, it's just talk. Mm-hmm. I'm all for the singing, but if we don't do anything about it, it's just talk. Guys, I'm all for the testimonies, and those things are great, and it makes me proud to hear what was said. But guys, if we don't do anything about it when we get home, it's just talk. And guys, talk is cheap. It won't get us anywhere. Hey, Ethan, I can say, man, this week, bless God, and I can get all excited about it. I'm going to read my Bible every day, Bruce, every day, not skipping. I'm not going to skip Monday or Tuesday, and I can preach a preaching storm about it. But guys, if I don't get up every day this week, open my Bible, set my butt down, and read the Bible, I can talk all I want to. It's not going to change my life. You understand? I've got to do something about it. I've got to do something about it. Hey, guys, it can't just be talk. Listen, and Tim, we've all seen this, and it's good. It's helpful, guys. But if all it is talk and we never turn it into action, guys, it's empty. It's nothing. I think sometimes we get so good as Christians about discussing all the problems. And guys, I'm guilty of it too. I'm a preacher, right? And it's not bad to be a preacher. But if we just talk about it and say, man, some of our lives are so jacked up, but we never take any action to change those things, it's just talk. It's just empty. So Nehemiah does his job and he calls them out. But guys, they make this fundamental decision. So how do we spin it to our lives? Guys, listen. I'm glad for the testimonies. I'm glad for the preaching. I'm glad for the singing. I'm glad for the trip that you had. I'm glad for all the encouragement and all of it. It's great, 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 great. But have you made the basic decisions to cut those things off? Guys, if we don't watch it, we can have all these testimonies, all these good things, and all this sharing of what God has done in our life. But did we cut off that bad music that we used to listen to? Have we done that yet? Have we closed the gates? Have we shut that stuff down and cut it off? Guys, have we changed our bad attitude that we used to have? Or did we just say that we would, but we didn't do anything about it? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Guys, have we cut off contact with those girls that we know aren't good for us? Or did we just talk about it, Aiden, and we keep doing the same thing? Because, guys, he could have preached until he was blue in the face in verses 16, 17, 18 to say, this is not okay. This is violation of the Sabbath. But if he left the gates open, those people are still coming in, and they're still going to sell their stuff, and they're still going to be violating God's law. You understand? Guys, we can't just talk. Guys, sometimes we break it down 50 different angles. Tim, the problem nowadays with Christians is this. But maybe it's this. And then maybe it's this. And then maybe it's this. And guys, all that stuff can be helpful and can be good, obviously, if it comes from the Word of God. But guys, let's take the knowledge and do something with it instead of just sitting there with big heads and sinful lives. Right? I don't want to have a big brain and have a life that's jacked up because I don't apply anything to my life. Hey guys, if God pointed something out in your life, my question is this. Have you done something about it to this point? Have you? Because guys, listen, the rest of this message will not apply to you if you haven't done something already. Listen, and if you haven't, maybe this is your wake-up call today to say, I got to do something. Hey guys, listen. George and all you guys that went, Chris, a bunch of you guys went, right? But listen, the preaching is great. But listen, you just sitting in the huge auditorium when Brother Kenny's laying it out, and Brother Shirley and Brother Clark and all the stuff, bam, 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 I'll take nothing from Sodom and all the stuff that you heard. But guys, don't get me wrong, but you just being in the building doesn't change your life. You just soaking in that noise doesn't change your life. The truth is very important, and the truth will help you. But you got to do something with it. Guys, you can't just hear, I will take nothing from Sodom, and you're over there, amen! But then you go back and you keep living in Sodom. Mm-hmm. You get me? Mm-hmm. You can't hear Brother Shirley and Brother Clark, and they're preaching, and they're laying stuff out, and they're saying, well, this needs to change in our life. This is not okay. And we say, yeah, let's go pray. And we do all the emotional stuff. But then we never change our life, guys. It's a waste of time if that's how we're acting. And I don't want it to be. All right? So have you made the fundamental decision? Hey, guys, if there's music I used to listen to that wasn't right, have you stopped listening to it? Have you deleted it? If there's girls, have you stopped talking to them? If there's friends that are leading you down the wrong track, have you cut them off? Maybe it's social media friends. Maybe it's people that text you. I don't know. Have you tried to avoid them in person? Hey, guys, whatever you need to do, have you done it? Have you done the most basic thing? Have you done the most basic thing? He's saying, let's shut the gate. Let's close it down. Guys, have you shut the gate on that sin, on that problem? Now, when you shut the gate, that doesn't mean it's over with. I'll teach you that in a moment. But that's a very big step in the right direction. Have you shut the gate on those things? Have you closed those things down and cut off that possibility? Hey, guys, if you used to cuss before the trip, have you changed the words that you're talking, that are coming out of your mouth now? Have you started memorizing some verses to help you? Have you started praying about it? Guys, these are basic things. Guys, if you didn't attend church faithfully before the trip and God spoke to you about that and God worked on your heart about it, do you have a plan to be faithful now? We've got to make the fundamental decision. If we don't, guys, we're just playing games. If we don't, it's just a bunch of hot air. If we don't, it's just a bunch of talk. Cut off the possibility. He's saying, listen, we can't have our nation going down this track. Therefore, I'm not okay with it. It bothers me. It burdens me. And I let people know about it. But we've got to do something to shut this thing down. Guys, close the gate. Hey, guys, have you closed the gate on some of those things that you've been struggling with? Have you made that basic, that most basic decision? We've got to. And by the way, guys, that's what a standard is. You're going to hear that in your future. And Wes and Tim and some of you guys could attest to this. A lot of times those are very debated in our circles and people have all kinds of problems with them. Guys, you shouldn't have a problem with a standard. You know what a standard is? It keeps you away from sinning. It's caution tape around a danger zone saying, no, I don't want to go over there. Could be in dress, could be in music, could be in a lot of different areas. But guys, standards are good things. They're guardrails to keep us away from danger zones. You can't just jump into the middle of something and expect it not to affect you. And they gave God's commands the priority. Hey, guys, you know why they shut the gate? Because they didn't want to keep defiling God, defiling themselves and disobeying God. Hey, guys, have you made those decisions in your life? Have you shut the gate? Hey, guys, I'm not trying to beat anybody up.
But man, I'm glad you went on the trip, and I'm glad God spoke to you. But if you're still listening to the same garbage, guys, what are we doing? What are we doing? Did they take that crazy bus 10 hours down there, and you go through all those busy days, and then come back 10 hours, and the bus barely made it? Thank Jesus, you know, hallelujah, a miracle happened because the bus made it back. Guys, did they do all that and it was a waste because you haven't even deleted that music off your phone? Let's not let that be the case. And guys, I'm not trying to beat anybody down. Please, don't take it that way. I don't know what you're saying that. I'm trying to help you.
We've got to be honest with ourselves, and we got to say, have I made the fundamental decisions? Guys, this is baseline. This is a starting point. We've got to start with that. And then he put some people to protect the gate and keep it closed. Hey, guys, have you done that? Have you shut down those possibilities already? You say, well, I'm working on it. Good. Stay at it. Okay? If you were sinning in some area, now are you trying to correct that? If you are not doing something that you should have been doing, have you corrected it? Are you starting to work on it? That's what I'm asking. Hey, I'm not trying to offend you or beat you up, but I am trying to call you out and get you to think about this. Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Whatever God told Aiden, are you working on it? Are you trying? Hey, you may mess up, but get back on the horse, keep going. The familiar disobedience, point number two, the fundamental decision. The basic. Again, guys, don't let it just be all talk. Hey, it was a great conference. I believe that. But don't just let it be all talk. Man, great preaching, but no life change. Great singing, but no life change. Wonderful testimonies, heartfelt, broken-hearted testimony. But if no change happens, it's just talk. Let's not let that be the case. Familiar disobedience, the fundamental decision. Hey, guys, here's where this whole message is built off of. Point number three, the foes don't disappear. Verse number 20. So, you tell me the story, right? He saw these things happening that should not have been happening. He was not okay with it. He called the people out and really went on them about it. So what did he do? He closed the gate, right? Saying, we're not having this anymore. He made his decision. Guys, that's not the end of the story. Verse number 20. The foes don't disappear. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Guys, you tell me, what did they do? What did they do? It's not anything complicated, but what did they do? Maybe it is complicated. I think it was. What did they do? If you're lost as to who these people are, they're the same people from verse number 16.
They went outside the city.
Okay. Well, let's put the pieces together. You're on the right track. He shut the gate, right? Mm-hmm. So they can't come in. These are people from other towns.
They stood outside.
Hey, guys, get this. The normal practice because of Israel's disobedience was on the Sabbath day, these people bring their stuff to sell, right? Mm-hmm. They're selling fish. They're selling food. They got their cultural, ethnic food. They bring it to Jerusalem. The people like it there, especially on the Sabbath there. They don't want to cook their own food, so they'll buy yours, you know? Or you make a certain product. Come in Jerusalem. Yeah, it's great. They'll buy it from you. Hey, guys. Nehemiah makes his decision. He shuts down the gate. He locks it up. Don't you think these people should get the hint? Right? I mean, guys. If you're trying to stroll into Teen Boys Walk to Walk class on a Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and the door's locked. It's boarded up. I mean, I got plywood, and it's all nailed up around. And we have a sign, keep out, danger. If you enter, you will die. You know, you might get the hint. You know, I don't think we're having class today. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Hey, guys, wouldn't you think these people would get the hint? I mean, he shut down the gate. I mean, it's locked. They've got guards there watching this thing. He's not going to open it up. But you know what, guys? That's the way the devil is. Hey, guys, he doesn't quit so easily, and these people didn't quit so easily. The foes don't disappear. Hey, guys, I would think that when they showed up to the gate being locked, Tim, without any word being said, I would think, oh, guess we can't sell here anymore. They don't seem to want this stuff. They don't seem to be interested. But, guys, that didn't stop them. And guys, what does that have to do with our spiritual lives? I think sometimes we think, I mean, but some, I went on that trip. I paid the money. I mean, I went to those services. Knowing those trips, I was tired. Some of y'all are tired in here right now. But listen, I was tired. I was struggling, man. Those were long services. They're like one more song, and you're like, really? You know, these people sleep? Because I'm trying to, you know. And you're there. And listen, I pushed through, but God spoke to me, and God helped me, and God gave me something. And I went to the altar. Doesn't the devil know that I'm serious? Why don't he leave me alone? Hey, guys, here's the whole message. Just because you went to the altar, it's a good thing. But it doesn't mean the devil says, oh, can't touch him now. Well, I mean, I wept. I shed tears at the altar. The devil doesn't see that and say, oh, I can never ruin his life anymore. Man, wish I would have got him before that first tear came out. But as soon as it came out, hands off, can't touch him. I'm not going to say that. That was stupid what I just thought. All right. Listen. I got up from the altar, and you know who was there? My friends, and we hugged, and we said, man, you did good, man. The devil obviously is not going to mess with me anymore. When I came back to the row, pastor shook my hand. Not some deacon. Pastor shook my hand. Obviously, the devil's going to leave me alone now. I got pastor's handshake. I haven't washed it since. That's a problem. All right, wash it soon, all right? Nothing against pastor. It's against you, nasty self. All right, listen. See, the cops are coming after you if you do that. All right? Listen. Some of you guys get nervous. Listen. When I came back to my seat, Brother Tuck patted me on the back, said, man, I'm praying for you. Devil's not going to mess with me. I'm untouchable. Guys, you got the wrong idea. Listen, I'm glad you went to the altar. I'm glad you prayed. If you shed tears, that's all good. I'm glad people encouraged you. I'm glad you had friends supporting you. That's all fantastic, guys. But the devil doesn't say, oh, hands off now. He says, no, I'm coming at you even stronger now. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This is what this message is about. Because you may have made the right decision, and I hope you had. But he's still hanging outside the gate. He's still there. He's still lingering. He doesn't take the hint. George, he doesn't walk up to your life and say, oh, he deleted his songs. Well, can't mess with George anymore. No, he's going to wait till you're weak. He's going to wait till you're vulnerable. He's going to wait till maybe you're discouraged. I hope this doesn't happen, George, but he may wait till somebody says something a little unkind to you and a little rude to you, and it bothers you. And maybe they shouldn't have said that, but you go home, and you're a little frustrated and discouraged by it, and the devil says, hey, George, I know you used to like them songs. Why don't you just try one? I mean, hey, what could one hurt you? And guys, it'll be on a Friday night. There's no church people there. There's no friends that were hugging you on the altar there. There's no choir with 200, 300 people up there. There's no famous preacher in your face giving you the word of God. You're all by yourself. Hey, young man, that's the way the devil works. He's hanging outside the gate. Devil says, I know what kind of girls you like. When you're weak, that's the one. That's when I'm going to throw up that pop-up on your phone. That's when you're going to come across something and you say, whoa, where did that come from? Hey, guys, that's when he's coming after you. Listen, guys, just because we made the official decision. Listen, some of us think, man, I went to the altar. In some churches, after you make a decision, they have you fill out a card. This is your name. This is the decision you make. Listen, guys, the devil doesn't care about your card. Well, no, the devil, I rededicated to the Lord. Read it. You can't touch me. The devil says, I don't care. Bring it on. He does, guys, whatever decision that we make, guys, we need to reinforce that. We need to keep going after it. We need to keep fighting so that we achieve victory in that decision. Because, guys, the devil's not done. Guys, when I'm not trying to belittle the decision. Please don't get me wrong here. But when you made that decision, it's a good thing. But, you know, it's not the referee didn't come in. Tim, I'm about to grab your arm real quick. I got a boxing metaphor. I got to go. You might want to put there. Listen, guys, as soon as you kneel at the altar and made that decision, the referee didn't come in and say, ding, 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 winner. That's not what happened. You know what happened? Ding, 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 the fight begins. And you need to come out of your corner ready to scrap, guys, because this is getting serious. Did I hurt you, Tim? His wrist, guys. I'm worried now. Here, let me get my tie out. I'll tie it for you. Listen, guys, some of you got that. Does anybody have a lukewarm ice pack, please? Or a warm ice pack? I could really use one right now. But listen, guys, just because we made those decisions doesn't mean the devil's done with us. And guys, these people walking up to the gates with all the stuff they want to sell, when they see the gates closed, they didn't say, oh, I'm done. We better go to a different town. These boys, they don't want our stuff anymore. They shut down the gate. It's over. We're moving out. All right. Take all the stuff. Moving out. Back it up. That's not what happened. They stayed there. It said they came back once or twice. So get this. They came one Sabbath. The gates are shut. Bruce, they come back the next Sabbath. I mean, don't these people get the hint? On the Sabbath day, we're not buying your stuff. Hello? They don't get the hint. They keep coming back. And guys, some of us say, we made an official commitment. I made the decision. So, I mean, obvious. It's obvious the devil's going to leave me alone now, right? I put a sign on my life. I belong to Jesus. No more of that nasty music for me. I'm only going to listen to what glorifies God. Can't the devil read the sign? You know? Can he stay off my property? Can he leave me alone? And you say, the battle's over, right? Not at all, guys. The battle's just beginning. The battle isn't over, guys. And I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just saying, listen, how serious are you about keeping your commitments? That's my question today. How serious are you about keeping your commitments? If it was just a fun trip and you hung out with your friends and you guys laughed, and I'm not against those things, but if that's all it was and there was no spiritual impact, and if there's no difference that's made in the last couple of weeks since you guys got back, you want to recheck yourself and say, I need to get my priorities right. I need to get my priorities right. The conflict is not over, guys. Not at all. The battle is just beginning. Devil doesn't take the hint. The devil doesn't go away easily. And there's an ominous coming back. Guys, these people didn't quit easily, and the devil's not quitting easily either. You know, after Jesus was tempted of the devil 3 different times, and Jesus defeated him each time, saying, it is written, Matthew 4, Luke 4, 3 times. You know what it says at the end of that passage? Then the devil departed from him for a season. What does that tell you? For a little while, he gave him a break. But was the devil done coming after Jesus? No. And if he wasn't done coming after Jesus, you really think he's done coming after you because you went to the altar? No, doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. All right, let me shut it down. Let's bow our head and close.